Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us, that you loved us enough to send your only begotten Son for us. We thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life for us, for your love for us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reveal your love to us. We look forward to the word you have for each one of us today to help us to grow in this, your love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay. As you may see, we have something a little different going on this morning. The Holy Spirit, every once in a while, changes my plans, which is a good thing. It really is. And by my plans, how would I put it? Even when I'm calling them mine, I do believe they're his from the beginning because I check in with him all the time. But he kind of revised his plans to me this morning, I guess is the way I'll put it, because they're all his plans. Okay? And literally in my drive from the local place, I'm not going to give an advertisement, where I go for my caffeine drink on Sunday mornings, every Sunday before I come up here and speak, I go there and I spend time in the Word and with God. And while I'm there, so it's just a short time before coming here, just as I got out of the car to go into this place, I heard a song. And as is the case with everything that goes on this year, all I hear is love. It's everywhere. And the song starts like this. It says, I've never been loved more than I am right now. That's the first lines of the song. I've never been loved more than I am right now. And all I can say is I about melted. You ever been melted when God's presence comes on you? That's what it feels like to me is all I will say. You know, there are these feelings that once again come associated with the move of the Spirit. And that's just like felt melted. In fact, after I came back out of the Starbucks, I went to turn the radio back on. I heard another song. I go, no, I don't want to leave there. I just want to stay melted that I've never been more loved than I am right now, ever. It's the song Gyra. You know, if you hear the rest of the song, More Than Enough, but it starts with that. I've never been more loved than I am right now. And that's what I was sensing right at that time for me. And what God showed me was doing this. Sometime is the way it came to me. Sometime I'll do this. And I mentioned to Donna in the parking lot about 10 minutes ago. She says, well, you can run that past Pastor Bill to see if it works sometime. Well, she came in and ran it past him right away, and Shane approached me and says, is it today? And I guess, well, I guess it is now. So this has all just happened. But I feel God arranged it. You know, some of us are more visual than others. Some get things in words more often. And so he put on my heart to do something visual today, okay? But I'm going to give you a word to start with, okay? For me, I'm more of a word person, per se. God gives me words. Now, do they create pictures sometimes? But with me, he always starts with words. Other people I know start with the picture. And then they'll get the word that kind of backs up the picture. I'm kind of the other way around, okay? So the word he gave me, and this was before this morning. This was already something I knew I was supposed to go back and share from the very beginning. This was the first thing today. If you want to look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. Because this is the starting place. Okay? There it says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Once again, I hear that and it melts me. And one thing to know is, when he draws you the first time, everyone's drawn that first time by his love, but he doesn't stop drawing you. He's drawing you closer and closer and closer into his love, who he is, and that's where he was taking me this morning. Sometimes I can just about get to the place where, how am I going to speak now? I'm a mess, okay? Because it's a good mess, I guess is what I'll say. It's just like, wow, I could just stand here and say, let's enjoy God. So you can do that while you're in your seats. I have to talk and share what God has me to share. I don't plan on leaving his presence, but I do need to share what God put on my heart to share. But this is what he was showing me visually up from this starting point, okay? And that was a love triangle, okay? And that is God on top. Hopefully you can see this. That didn't come out too dark. Okay, we have God up here. Now, there are two givens in this triangle, okay? Two. And that is, one is, let me see if I can get this off. It's not coming off very easily, but I want to do this in a different color because these are the two that are given. This is a given. This is me and each one of you being me, okay? Each of you. This is us as an individual, and this is a given. You can be sure, as that verse says, his love towards you is everlasting, and he's drawing you all the time. And there's nothing you have to do to make that happen. That's a given. Well, there's another given. It's over here. Any other person. Okay? Anyone. But now there are a lot of other arrows involved. This is what he was showing me. Hopefully this wipes off on fingers as good as it does off on chalkboards. We'll find out. So, he's saying, those you never have to worry about. They're automatic. There's nothing you can do to change it, which is good. Because I can do some things that I might be wondering, does he still love me? Has any of you ever been there in your life? But there's nothing you can do to change that. It's there. It's a given. But then, what he was showing me, or at least in my own life, the way I looked at it, I go, well, there's another one that's almost a given. Almost. And I'll say this, because if you've ever experienced this love, and you know this love is for you, and you've accepted this love, and you see him as love, and you know him as the one who always loves you, it's just about, I don't know, I didn't go looking for scriptures, but I think this one is just about a given too. When you're, at least once you're born again, which I'm looking around the room, from what I know, I'm not the judge, but we all are that are here listening, okay? Right now. Now, maybe someone online, that may not be the case. You may be over in this any other person place. But to me, once I was saved, this was pretty much a given, okay? Now, these other ones are much less a given, okay? And this is the part that God is mainly having, revealing more and more to me. He told me, you understand real good how much I love you. And that's the starting place, just as we just read in Jeremiah 31:3. And I know you love me. That's good. He says there's only one place that you struggle a little bit. And actually, more recently, I'm seeing it as more than a little bit in some cases. And that is loving those around me who aren't quite so perfect as God is. Do any of you ever struggle with that? All I can say is, and I know you may be looking at me and go, well, yeah, that would be you with me. But so this is the one he's working on, and that is me showing my love to them. And that's really what God is having me do as I share here, because what we're looking at is in the Word, how God shows us he loves us and what his type of love is, so that we can then take that love that he's put in us. We've talked about the fact that it's no lesser love than what the God the Father loved the Son. We can't say, oh, we can't love like that. Oh, yes, you can, because the Word tells you you can. He didn't put some inferior type of love inside of you. You can love just like the Father loved the Son. So, he's challenging me and having me grow so that I can do this better, okay? Now, one thing that he's made clear to me is, it's nice when they do this, but we don't do this to force them to do this. It's nice when they do. And you may love on someone forever and kind of really almost never notice that they're loving you back. But see, that doesn't matter in God's equation. What's required of you is this part. What you need to do, and I actually shared this with someone in the church, a couple people. Pastor Bill's heard me say it. Steve has heard me say it. In fact, just the last time we talked, and he says, oh, that's good. Say that again. What God has impressed upon me is, just like I like God being my God, what I need to do is allow these people, allow God to be their God. Not me. Not me trying to direct them. Allow God to be God in other people's lives. Okay? When you can do that, it releases you from trying to manipulate situations, which we shouldn't be doing. Just say, I'm loving because I know this is what God wants me to do. Whatever happens from there, you just lay that over on God. Because he's their God too. Allow God to be God to them. Okay? With the hopeful result that, as in this verse, he's drawing them too. And when he draws them, and they get to the place where they know, oh, I recognize that love, that then they too love him back. That's the ultimate goal for us, okay? That's why we're doing this, is so that they'll love the Father. So notice we got arrows going in every direction. And God just impressed upon me to share it that way. I think I've lost the cap to this one if it was there. Hopefully someone can find it. Oh, it's over here. So God, that's what God wanted me to share with you this morning, that someone might see something that maybe they hadn't quite recognized before just by getting to look at it on the board. All of these are important. There's certain parts we have nothing to do with, which is a good thing because we'd mess it up. Yeah. I know. Well, I'm saying we. Usually when you hear me say we, that means me first, and I'm assuming that if I can mess it up, you guys can too, okay? Just assuming, okay? But I can mess things up. So, like I said, this part here, I've kind of got, this is the one that I tend to mess up, okay? And oftentimes it is because I'm thinking, well, they should do this, and they should react this way. No, this is only my part here, right to here, and then let God deal with them.
Absolutely.
Okay? Yes, he does. And this is one of those things when we've talked about, when you get a revelation from God of something, and he showed me this before this morning, just never quite will draw the triangle and show the church, okay? So he's shown this to me, and it's one of those things that we've talked about. When God gives you the revelation of something for the first time, you kind of see it clearly. You don't automatically walk in it all the time instantaneously. What you need to do is when you're about to go into a situation and do something or say something, when it's not become part of your character yet, you need to pause and go, okay, based on this revelation that he's now given me, how do I walk that out in this next thing that I'm going to do? How do I say this in love? How do I do this knowing this or whatever else it is he's revealed to you? So it's not automatic. But as we do it over and over and over again, it becomes part of our character. And as we've shared before, he's not going to leave you where you're at. He promises that it's his desire. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says he wants to have us increase and abound in love. See, that's his desire. And if that's his desire, guess what? He's going to make that happen. He's going to work. He's not going to force it on you, but that's his desire, and he's going to do what he needs to do. And by needs, not you demanding it of him, but what he's going to do because of who he is. It's his desire. He wants to do that, and he's just kind of waiting for us to line up our desires with his desires, right? In other words, when we get to the point where we can say, yes, God, I desire to know more of who you are, so that I can be more like you are here on this earth. Because until we see him as he is, How do we know to be like him? We can't. We've got to see it. But he'll reveal himself to us. Okay? And because he is love, he's going to show us more and more who he is as love, as one of the revelations that he gives to us. So, kind of regressed there. Not regressed, just did what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. Normally, I guess it's been the last 2 weeks now, I always start by sharing what God gave me as the title for this series. Pastor Bill has taught me one of the many things, but the one that may have sunk in the most so far is something in the natural, to apply in the natural, and that is, as I speak anytime, and I'm teaching in a series, and that is to keep the main thing, okay? And that helps keep me, and hopefully all of you, focused. Okay, this is what we're talking about. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will have me share something over here or something over here. And it may not look exactly like what we were sharing here, but it's tied to it. And if we keep the main thing, you'll be able to tell how everything fits and keep you on track. So what he gave me as the title for this series is Take Your Next Step in Love. And what he showed me, what that meant simply, walk in the revelation of love that God has given you in each and everything you're going to say and do. And if it's something that you've been doing for years, it's become part of your character. You don't necessarily have to take that pause. No, because it's become part of who you are. It's your character. You'll do that, which is really what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to establish his character in you. But we're all somewhere along this continuum, as I would call it. And in certain aspects or areas of love, we may be here, or we may be here, or we may be even here. And if you're back here somewhere near the beginning, when you're about to do something, you may need to pause and go, oh, he just showed me this. How does that apply here? Okay? And that way you can start doing it. I can tell you, God's had me telling myself a lot in the last couple of years. There are certain times I'll start into something. I know there's something to do, and I just jump right in. How many of you just jump right in without thinking ever? You know, you just, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to do this. And you really are. You really are supposed to do it. It's not that you weren't supposed to do it, but you just go, oh, I'm supposed to do that. Boom, and you're doing it. Okay. And then I'll get about halfway through and go, huh, I didn't talk to God about how this was really supposed to be done. So I get halfway through, and then I stop and go, just isn't working out quite like I'd hoped. Do you have some direction for me here? And see, that'll happen when it's not become part of you. In other words, you got to stop and think about it. Sometimes I've actually done the whole thing and go, wow, that was a catastrophe. In other words, I think about it at the end. Well, I know why that didn't work. You didn't stop in and spend some time with God and see how he wanted you to do it and what it would look like in love. So in those new areas that he's revealed to you, just pause for a second. Just for a second. And let him speak to you, because he's the one that will bring it back to you. If he's shown it to you, he doesn't want you to forget it. He doesn't want you to go on living the way you were, because he's giving you new revelation that you can apply so that you can do this the way he wants you to. Okay? So that's kind of the brief review. And when I say brief review, the Holy Spirit also impressed upon me. I don't know if you've noticed in this series, when I go back and give a review, and this is just me, and maybe God will totally change me at some time and or in specific series that I teach, but I generally give a very brief review. And it's usually short because I want to get going on to the next thing. Well, this week he stopped me and said, you need to go back and spend some time where you were last week before you go on. So all I'm doing is listening to him. If you want to say, well, we heard this last week, I'll bring to mind a verse that I know you all know. Faith comes by hearing rather than by having heard. Okay? And I need reminded of that awful lot, because I probably more than any of you go, I've heard that before. That's not a good thing. As Pastor Bill's talked about, it can often locate you when you're the one doing that. All I can say is, I've done that a lot in my life. Hopefully I start doing it a little bit less. So if you want to pray for me, there's one way. Okay? There are a lot of ways, but that's one. God's working on me in that way so that I don't have that reaction. But he said, go back and go over some of, say, the last third of what you shared last week. I don't know. How would I put this? I don't have to decide whether, well, maybe they didn't get this. Maybe I didn't explain it or share it the way that he wanted me to in such a way that they got it. And even when I do it today, maybe you won't get it. There's many different ways to disconnect. All I can do is do what the Holy Spirit told me to do and then allow him to do what he does. Maybe someone else will come in and share it and you go, oh, now I got what Alan was trying to tell me because he just didn't do a really good job. Well, I'm fine with that as long as you get it. I don't care who it comes from. Ultimately, it comes from the Holy Spirit. But so let's. I'd like you to turn back to Ephesians chapter 3, and we looked at verses 14 through 19. And one of the main reasons last week that God had me go from 14 through 19 is what you need to notice is that's all one sentence. One sentence, 14 through 19. At least I know it is in the New King James Version. I know 17, 18, and 19 are in the King James because I looked there. I didn't go all the way back to 14 in the King James Version to see. I should have. But it's all one sentence. And there's a reason it's all one sentence. It's because it's all about the same one thought. Okay? Because once you're done saying, oh, this is this, there's a period. When you're ready to move on to the next thought, you start capital letter and start the next sentence. This is all one thought. Okay? So in verse 18, where it says, what is the width, depth, length, and height? Doesn't mention the word love once in that verse. However, that's why I love the song that we sang. We've sung it a couple times in the last few weeks because the song says, your love is deep, your love is high, and it goes, and it puts your love is before each one of those. And that's really the correct understanding of the verse because it's talking about love in 17 and it goes right into talking about love in 19. Do you think he just threw 18 in there for something? No, it's all about love, okay? And we need to see how deep his love is, how wide his love is, how far he'll go, to what depths he'll reach with his love, okay? So, but I want to look specifically this week without going back through all of 14 through 19. I want to have us look just at the end of verse 17 because he's having me point out just a couple things. And at the end of verse 17, it says that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the width, the depth, the height, the length? Maybe not in that order. That you may know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding. That's the end of 17 on into 19. And there's a reason that I kept going. Because it's supposed to keep going. In other words, if you just say you're rooted and grounded in love, you haven't got the whole thought. It's so that you can comprehend with all the saints. Okay, that's why you need to be rooted and grounded in love. Because if you're not there, you won't be able to comprehend with all the saints. Okay, so we're rooted and grounded in love. What does that mean? Well, I shared last week that rooted means to become stable. That means you really, stable is like you're here and you're not moving. Stable. See, that's what love will do for you. It won't let you get too far off the mark that God has for your life. It's going to keep you right here. If you can just get this one thing, love, right, okay, it'll keep you pretty much in line just by that. There's a whole lot else in the Bible we could talk about and we need to know and walk in, but if you don't get this right, you're going to have trouble doing all the rest of it. And that's really what this passage is talking about. We're going to go into that next. Okay? Rooted and grounded in love. Because that word grounded there means to lay a basis for. So you may think of the word right off the bat, and we'll often use it. In other words, it's the foundation, because that's the basis for everything else you're going to build upon. But when you look up that word in the Greek, it does say to lay the basis for, and then it says that is to literally erect. Okay? The literal meaning of the Greek word used there means to erect. Now, this is one of those, and I'm going to show you something in a second that I didn't share with you last week, that some things it's just A to B and you can kind of get it. So this one you have to follow me for a second. So it means to literally to erect. Okay, now what you need to know is when you go look up one of the definitions of erect, as with many words, there are several different definitions that describe it and different ways of looking at what it is. And one of those definitions, if you were to look at it, it says to raise a consequence from a premise. That is to erect. To raise a consequence from a premise. So now you have to, now once again, think about what is that saying? Consequence is something that happens after something else happens, right? Everything has consequences. You do this and then there's a consequence, be it good or bad. But now it's saying to erect, to raise. That means intentionally build something so the consequence happens. Okay? To raise from that premise to the consequence. Now, what you have to understand is when you look up that word premise, because not everyone knows exactly what a premise is, but when you look it up, what it says is a premise is a first principle. That's the definition of a premise. It's a first principle. And I shared last week what a first principle is. It's that which, when you take anything back to its base, it's that from which all else comes. And if, once again, just like that foundation, if you are walking in a first principle that's wrong, you can't expect to get anything else right. A way to look at it is, and this is what I also shared last week, is I think most all of you in here have had children. I never have. But I've been around a lot of them. And I was one once. So I know what they're like, I guess is what I'm saying. my mother actually babysat my second cousins for many years. And I was, at least 6, 7, 8 years older than them. So I was at an age where I could watch them and remember what was going on. And this one second cousin got to that stage. And y'all know it. Why? 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 How? You know, they'll throw in the how once in a while too. And I think it's real easy as parents to sometime just say, quit bothering me. I've heard that question enough. But when you really keep asking that question, and if you do honestly and trying your hardest to answer every one of those questions, whatever it is they've asked you, and you answer that why and that why and that how, you'll eventually get to the place where you'll just say, well, it just is. This is. You know, once I've got to hear, it just is. In other words, there's no further explanation. It is. Well, do you want to know what the first premise is? One of the very first premises in the Bible? Love, the love of God, just is. Okay? You can't go back any further than that. Because God is love, and he's been here forever, beyond forever. Okay? It goes back to the first principle. And so, though I took you through a bunch of steps there, how would I put it? I don't try to do, let's call it, verbal gymnastics to get it to say something that I want it to say. That's really wrong, because you can take anything and make it say anything. So, if you were to go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, what you'll actually see there, both in the King James and the New King James, it talks about the first principles. That's the word it uses there. So though it doesn't use it here, in chapter 5, I think it's chapter 5.
Yes.
Okay. Yep, chapter 5, verse 12. It says the first principles. And there it's talking about the milk and the meat. The first principles are the milk. Okay? And the first principle, one of them, is love. Another one is faith. Okay? If you look at verse 16 in the passage that we're in. We started in 17 today. It actually, 16 is talking about, well, the faith of God better be in your heart, because if it's not there, then you're not even going to get to this love part, because we receive him by faith. And if we haven't received him yet, then his love isn't in us. In other words, we can't do this one down here at all if we haven't received him by faith. Okay? So the first principles are faith and love. And God showed me an example just this week, because I know a lot of you attended many of the services at the Armada Landmark. And I actually shared with Phil, he must be with the children today, and so I'll kind of do it now. I said, what I was tempted to do right from the very beginning, but I'll do it now, is go, wow, you're all loaded. And I thought, well, I better explain that for those that are online, okay, and maybe hearing this, but I know you're all loaded. You just spent the last week at the Armada Landmark. And we are all loaded, because Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with his benefits. I was daily loaded this week. I don't know about any of you. I was daily loaded. In fact, I'm still processing all that I got this week. I'm so loaded, I don't even know what to do with all of it yet. I'm serious. And maybe some of you are there too. There are certain things that stood out, and I know that I'm supposed to go back and look at even some more. But we are loaded daily with his benefits. So to erect this principle, now there is one thing quite different from the world definition of these first principles. See, the first principle, the world says that it's a self-evident proposition or assumption that cannot be deduced from any other proposition or assumption upon which all subsequent reasonings are developed. This is what we talked about last week. When you have this first premise and you get this, you can then look at everything else and say, oh, this is the basis for this. And this is how this works. Not only this basis, but this causes this to work this way. You'll actually see the second thing much more clearly and be able to think, okay, the Word of God says this. How do I look at this now, having established this first principle as the thing that's going to guide that? And I want to give you an example from just this week. Pastor Dale, Apostle Dale, I tend to keep calling him pastor. He was my pastor for so many years, I have trouble doing that. I call him Pastor Dale. He was my pastor for a long time. And he shared that what is very important and significant in seeing, walking out your call, because that's what it was about this week, the call of God on your life, was time in the Word and time in prayer. He says that's the basis. He was using that word. And God said, yep, those are needed, but that's not the basis. All he said to me was, so, if you didn't love God, would you spend time in his word? Would you spend time praying to him? I'm like, no. If you didn't have faith, would you be praying to God? Why bother? If you don't think he's going to do what you asked him to do, why would you be spending? If you didn't believe that his word was true by faith, would you spend time in his word? No. So in other words, the basis for your alone time in the word and in prayer is faith and love. These are the first principles. And if you look at that, everything else, you can just literally start at these first principles and start seeing things like that. And you've got to get those right to be able to move on and get the rest of it right. Okay? So that's one of the reasons God wanted me to go back just a little bit more with you this week, because now you just heard the worldly definition of it. And here's what's different than the worldly definition. These are not self-evident. Did you catch that word? What we know as first principles aren't self-evident. No. They're the Word of God, from his written word or from his spirit, that's always going to line up with his word. They can only come from God, and they are not assumptions. The definition from the world is self-evident assumptions. These are words from God, and they're not assumptions, they're concrete truths. Okay? So our first principles have a much better basis than the world's do. Okay? We have a very firm, concrete foundation in His Word and through His Spirit as to this is a first principle, because the Word tells us so and the Spirit confirms it. Okay? So because that is so stable and it is so right, we can then look at things and go, well, if I get this right and look at this like this, we can better do what He wants us to move on and do. So that's why these principles of love and faith are so important. We're specifically in this series looking at love, but that doesn't mean we discount faith or anything else, like peace and joy, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit. When I say that we need to walk in love, well, you need to walk in peace and you need to walk in joy. It just so happens that He has me sharing with you specifically about love. So that's interesting. I'm about one quarter of the way through what I thought I was going to share this morning, and there's like 10 minutes left. So it took me 35 minutes to get here, and I got 10 to finish. So I actually love that. I enjoy it when God just kind of takes over, because once again, none of this was planned. But I believed it was totally God. So now I have to see down to where we're still in last week. What we're probably going to do today is get through the review pretty much and maybe take the very next step, because of where it leads us. But if you look down in verse 19 of chapter 3, it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Key thing that I shared last week that I want you to see again. See, to know something, oftentimes there are different words in the Bible that concretely mean know and words that mean understand, and they're separated. This word translated here as to know literally means, if you look it up, it means to both know and understand. So they're not separated here. So it's saying here that you may know with comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the depth, the height, the length, to know the love of Christ. Once again, this is all connected. So you need to be rooted and grounded so that you can know the length, the width, the depth, and the height. And that you have to consider that in order to know the love of Christ. It's all connected. So now what we need to see, and we shared this last week too, because it then says which passes knowledge. Well, how do you know it if it passes knowledge? Do any of you ever ask questions like this? This is in the same sentence. So that you can know, but it passes knowledge. Just tell me I can know and then that I can't know? No. It's not what it's saying. That's why you need to look at that. If that doesn't compute, go, God, show me how this works. It says that we can know, and then it says it passes knowledge. So it must not mean that it's not knowledge that I can't have. Or else I couldn't know it, right? It's just the way my mind works. I look at things like that going, okay, I'm going to need some help here, God. And He has shown me here, and I think you'll get it too, and there's other places in the Bible that will confirm this. If I share this with you, and you think, nah, I don't think that's what it's saying there, go to the Word of God and see what He tells you, okay? I encourage people to dig in on their own. In fact, I really hope you're just not listening to me about love. I hope these teachings have stirred something up in you that as I share things, you start digging, start looking. Oh, yeah, what about this? What about this? Because in doing that, you'll find out in particular what God wants to get to you individually. I'm sharing with you what He's getting to me. And knowing that He would get a lot of these things to you, and so He's having me share it, but I don't want you just to listen to me. You have a part to do too. If you really desire to have God reveal Himself to you about love, well, then you need to go to Him and say, I desire this, and I'm going to spend some time with you. Show me. Reveal yourself to me in this area. And so when it says there, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, if you look at that word passes there, the word in the Greek, it means to throw beyond the usual mark. Now, I actually kind of asked Phil, who's not here, a question literally about 3 or 4 weeks ago, because God gave me this a month or two ago. And I said, so what do you think that means? And he told me exactly what it means, correctly. And I'm like, oh, that's good. Because sometimes when I'm going to share something, I'm going, I wonder if they're going to get that. And even as I'm preparing, and he already had the answer, so I like that. See, what it's talking about there when it says which passes knowledge, to throw beyond the usual mark, it means that in our own physical capabilities, we can, God gave us a mind. We can look at things, see things, and kind of reason some things out of our own mental capabilities. That's how we'll reach the usual mark, kind of the earthly mark. We can get there, okay? We can have some facts. And they can even be word facts. But we really don't understand them at all. Because this is know and understand that we're talking about here, right? Know and understand. And so how is it that we can get something that's beyond the usual knowledge and understanding? It's through his revelation knowledge. That goes beyond the usual mark. We can't do anything to make that happen. We just go to him. We tell him we want it. He's just waiting for us to want what he wants. Say, God, give me your revelation, the revelation of you in this area of love. And you'll get the revelation that passes knowledge. He'll give you the revelation knowledge because he doesn't want you to stay right where you're at. He wants you to increase and abound. That's how he's going to do it. He'll give you more revelation as you desire it. And then the fun part. Who can tell me what the next step is? What's going to happen next? I'm literally looking for someone to tell me. Who can tell me what automatically is going to come next? Tests. Yeah, don't have to pray for those. They're coming. And that's an automatic, because he wants to get this rooted and grounded in you. And that's how he does it. So you'll get the revelation. He'll give you the tests that you can walk through relying on him. Don't try to go through those tests in your own strength once he's given you the revelation. You'll fall flat on your face every time. I know, because I've done it. I'm living proof. And I still do it, which you'd think after you did that a few times, you'd stop. You know? I've told people sometimes I can be a little slow, okay? But he's working in me, okay? And I just need to rely on him more and more that when the tests come, I go, okay, God, you showed me this. I see clearly now how this works. I see how you love me in this way and how I'm supposed to love others. Now help me to do it. Because I'm not at the point where I'm doing it automatically yet. Okay? It hasn't become a full part of me yet. So I got to really rely on him to enable me to walk it out the way he's shown me I'm supposed to walk it out. Because if I don't, the flesh part of me, will mess it up. Okay? So hopefully that wasn't boring to anyone. It was a repeat pretty much of last week, but I'm going to go on to just one last thing, because this is the link to what God's going to have me share next week. It says, we just heard to know. Now, once again, I said, this revelation knowledge starts with the word in the word or from the Spirit, which is always going to line up with the word. So the Bible itself tells us how we can know and understand love. Do you know what tells us that right in the Bible? Word for word. It just comes right out and says, here's how you know it. I like it when it's that plain so that I can't miss it. It's that plain. I'd like you all to look at 1 John chapter 5. Nope, not chapter 5. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16. This is really easy to remember. Everyone knows John 3:16, right? It's about love. Well, guess what 1 John chapter 3:16 is about? It tells you how we know love. So easy to remember. John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. Okay? It says, by this we know love. Is that pretty straightforward? Saying, here's how you know it. And that word know there is the same one that you may know the love of Christ that we just talked about that means both know and understand. Okay? Same exact Greek word. That you may know and understand. Okay? By this we know love because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If you want to understand love, what you have to understand is the cross. It's the greatest example of love in the whole Bible. And everything that we have talked about to this point in time, you can go back and consider the cross, and you'll see all of what we've talked about and all that we're going to talk about right there in the cross. I'll close with this. In fact, when God kind of showed me this and just said, this plain, I have a little glass cross. And once again, I'm usually not that visual, and I don't say you carry around like a rosary or something to keep in front of you. But God just impressed upon me to take that little glass cross, and I put it right in front of where I eat. And I eat a lot and often. So it sits. I mean, there's my plate, and there's this little glass cross. And every time I look at that, I go, the love of God. It's just a reminder. And it just gets me, wherever I'm at in my day, I go, the love of God right there. And so it just brings me back to where I need to be, wherever I'm at in my day. And that's just something he had me to do. Not saying he'd have anything you to do anything like that. That was just one way God has me do things. And we're all different. But I am going to close there. I'm so thankful to God that he gave me this to share with you today. Hopefully you all got something out of it. Because that's my goal. I'm not up here. How would I put this? I actually shared, I think, somewhat this way to Pastor Bill. I go, yeah, I really appreciate it when someone says, oh, that was good. I'm like, yeah, thank you. But in a way, and this is not meant to be insensitive, so get to say this. I almost don't really care whether you think it's good or not. What I really care about is did you get something from God or not? That's what's important to me. I'm not up here just to say these things and then go, well, that was good. You shared what you know, what God showed you. But did it have an effect on somebody's life? I know that's not my part to play, but that's my desire. I love hearing, oh, that was good. But more than that, I needed to hear that. God shared this with me, and that's going to change my life. Now, if I hear that, I'm going to start doing cartwheels inside. I'm serious that I needed that today, and that's going to change my life because God showed it to me. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this, your word, that you're revealing to each one of us that you are faithful, God. When we desire what you desire, you will give us the desires of our heart. I personally, and I hope it's everyone here, desires to know more of you and specifically who you are as love. Keep working in us and through us that the world may see your love. In Jesus' name, amen.